is Pamela Kuhn, and the curtain is up on Center Stage, the show about the arts and the artists behind their work. Well, welcome back to part two of my conversation with an actor that I admire, Chris Sarandon. Besides his Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor in Sidney Lumet's Dog Day Afternoon, and his beloved turn as Prince Humperdinck in Rob Reiner's Princess Bride, Chris Sarandon has developed a rather successful podcast. With his love of food, of entertaining, sharing stories around the table, and encouraging all of us to rekindle remembrance through recipes, he offers the world cooking by heart. With Chris as host, he features celebrities and food enthusiasts to share with him about the sensory power of food and memories. Cooking by Heart is in its third season, and he has kicked it off this fall with guest Rosanna Arquette. You can find it all at chrissarandon.com. So I invite you to sit back and come to the dining table, so to speak, to partake of the world of beloved actor Chris Sarandon. Well, what else have we got to look forward to this season?
Well, so far on season three, aside from Rosanna Arquette, the next guest launched today, a relatively young man. I'm calling him young because he's a hell of a younger than I am, Michael Urie. Mm-hmm. Michael is currently starring on Broadway in Once Upon a Mattress. He was also in the revival of Spamalot, but Michael also was starring in the television series Ugly Betty. He's been in a number of films. He's in this streaming show called Shrinking. Michael's everywhere, right? He's also one of the most delightful human beings you will ever come across in your life. A brilliant actor. I don't know if you saw a show called Buyer and Seller.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. About the young man who's hired by Barbara Streisand to curate her little mini mall in her basement.
Right.
Written by a friend of ours, Jonathan Tolens, lives up here in Connecticut as well. And Michael did that. It really put him on the map. He won every Off-Broadway award. He was just deliciously amazing in the show. And he's a deliciously amazing guest. And I don't only mean that in the culinary way. he talks about his mom and her cooking, what a wonderful eclectic cook his mother was, and how he tries to recreate her recipes but can't. He says, I completely screw them up. He sent me a couple of recipes from his mother, including some recipes his mom illustrated with magazine photographs of the particular canned goods that were used in it. I mean, it was a great, funny, wonderful conversation. In a subsequent episode, I think it's a couple of weeks after that, spoke with Ileana Douglas, actress, a fascinating woman, author as well. I met Ileana, in fact, at the Sacred Heart University Theater, where she was doing a talk back with Susan Granger about her experiences in the movies. And also, she's written a book about filmmaking in Connecticut, because she is a Connecticut native and has moved back to Connecticut. And some extraordinary stories, including one about a meal that she had with Marty Scorsese and Marlon Brando. That's just amazing.
Whoa.
It's an extraordinary story. Victor Garber is one of my guests.
Wonderful.
Victor, who was a longtime regular on the television show Alias. I think a lot of folks out there would know him from his role in the film Titanic. Big Broadway presence as well. A James Beard winning chef from West Virginia, my home state.
Look at that.
Named Chef Paul Smith, who's a lovely man, wonderful man. A woman named Bonnie Hammer. Bonnie is the former vice chairman of NBC Universal and an old friend of Joanna's and mine, who came on the show and tells great stories about how she worked her way through the glass ceiling to become, she was considered the queen of cable television for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of who else. Jill Eikenberry, the actress.
Oh, yeah.
A wonderful actress from L.A. Law, also any number of other.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Fabulous roles on Broadway as well as on television. So that's just the beginning.
What a cross-section.
The beginning of the season. And we're moving on to, I'm going to have a big name chef at a live show at the SHU Theater. I can't tell you who yet.
Okay.
Because we still have to submit that date. And I'm talking to a couple of authors. So we're going to have an interesting season this year.
Wow. So how do you record these, Chris? Do you work on these over the summer and then release them? How does this work and how do you book your guests?
Well, I'm the director, producer, booker. Because a lot of these people I've either know or know people who know. And I feel better for me to actually make the overture for the guests rather than it's coming from a third party.
Right. So
I also have a wonderful PR gentleman named Ed Katz, who does a lot of liaisoning for particularly media folks like you, newspapers, television, that sort of thing. And then I also have a couple of wonderful people who do social media and my website. I have a website, chrissarandon.com, where all the episodes of the podcast emanate from. And so it's a team, but I'm sort of at the center of the madness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I also have a great sound engineer and video engineer.
Oh, well, there you are. I mean, you're set.
Who's great at this. And he works with me very specifically on each episode. But as far as the episodes themselves, I just do a lot of research.
Yeah, I understand that.
I do a lot of reading. If it's an author, I read four books. I read four of Alice Waters' books. Jacques Pepin, same thing. Mm-hmm. His memoir, Lydia Bastianich, you name it.
It's fantastic.
You know the story, yes.
I do know the story.
You do your homework.
And sometimes when you don't have time to do the homework, you just get a hit off of a guest in a direction you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really listening, they will lead you. Yeah. There have been times I've been sitting with a script of 10 pages and I haven't asked one question off of it, even though I've done the research.
Yes. You know? Yes, because absolutely.
You know what we're talking about, like you and I are doing right now.
Joanna very much encouraged me in that regard. You know, she was the one who was saying to me, I know you've got all this stuff and you've got all this research, you've got all this background, but once something starts going somewhere, just follow it.
Worry and about how. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Joanna, because we never really have on any of our conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my first question to you is, because I know you've been married several times, but is Joanna Gleason, does she complete you or is she back there inspiring you on a daily basis? But I think I already know the answer to that one.
She's everything.
I see it in every photo of the two of you together.
Yeah, she's an extraordinary woman in so many ways. She's, I think, one of the great actresses of her generation, if not ever, in this country. She is a prolific writer who wrote and directed a screenplay that she wrote that is actually going to be distributed probably in the next few months. A wonderful movie called The Grotto that she wrote and directed. She's also writing a memoir. And she and I, you know, we do this life together that's just, it's hard to describe, except that it's a wonderful life.
It is a wonderful life. As Frank
Capra would say. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you're figuring it out as you go along. I love that kind of spontaneity.
Yeah.
And she's actually the daughter of Monty Hall from
Let's
Make a Deal. I did not know this about wonderful.
And I was lucky enough to become part of that wonderful family of hers. I knew Monty and his wife, Marilyn, infinitely well because Joanna and I were together for a long time before they passed, I think 4 or 5 years ago, and became very close to them because both of my parents were gone and they really became sort of my second mom and dad.
Yeah.
For many, many years. Not my mother and father-in-law, but my mom and dad. As well as her siblings. She has a brother and a sister. And we met under the worst possible circumstances, that is Joanna and I did, because we were doing a Broadway show that was at the time the most expensive Broadway musical in history, called Nick and Nora, based on the Thin Man movies, directed by the 500-pound gorilla known as Arthur Lawrence, who wrote the book to Gypsy, wrote the screenplay to The Way We Were, was the frequent collaborator to any number of great artists, including Jerome Robbins and Stephen Sondheim. And Arthur was, he was a tough cookie. I'm putting it mildly. And he wrote the book to Nick and Nora. The music was written by Charles Strauss from Annie and Bye Bye Birdie. Richard Maltby, the great Richard Maltby, the lyricist. And it had big hit written all over it, except for the fact of Arthur's hubris, in the sense that Arthur was not listening to anyone. And so the show and a cast of luminaries, Faith Prince, Barry Bostwick.
Oh my gosh.
Trying to think of who else. I know I've forgotten someone, but anyway, Deborah Monk, a lot of wonderful, wonderful Broadway people. And the show was a huge, huge, huge flop. Universally panned by every critic in New York.
Oh my gosh.
And in the midst of all this, I was going through some financial problems that had nothing to do with Joanna, and some marital problems from a previous relationship. And Joanna and I met, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it had every possibility of being a showmance. And here we are, more than 30 years later, married for most of those years, and blissfully happy and living the life, the great life. So
you must have had so many high hopes for Nick and Nora. I mean, talk about The Thin Man, William Powell, Myrna Loy, Asta. I mean, this would be a winner in anyone's eyes. I'm so sorry it was so heavily laden by the wrong kind of energy.
The wrong kind of energy. That's a good way of putting it. The chemistry was bad. Oh, and Christine Baranski. That's who else.
Oh, my gosh.
So
oh,
it was,
my gosh.
It was an amazing cast. And we're all still friends, by the way, whenever we see each other. Because when you go through disaster, sometimes it's more bonding than
going
through something that's a big hit.
Yeah, the scars are still there. It's unforgettable.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Such a pity. I'm such a Nick and Nora fan. Mm. In fact, I had a landmark birthday where we had a Nick and Nora theme and Eve writing down to the cocktail, and we loved every moment of it.
Wow.
There you go. So I'm so sorry about that. But
I think one of the problems was trying to recreate that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
And something that's so indelible in people's minds. And unless
you almost impossible.
Approach it from a different angle, you're almost asking for it.
But you were the winner with Joanna Gleason. That
absolutely
is so exciting, Chris. Well, look, I've just because it's October and it is the month and Halloween is coming up, I just had to sit down last night and watch Fright Night. What a crazy joy. But I've just got to say, as clever as this film was, and I know it was one of Tom Holland's first outings, I mean, and it was so nifty in so many ways. You walk into the screen and you just light up the camera. And I've got to say that that dance scene in the nightclub when you walked in.
Thank you.
Wow. I mean, I can see I can see Angel in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I can see Edward Cullen in Twilight, The Lost Boys. It seems like everything came out of that one scene where you were so seductive. And I've got to say, you really added something special to that film. My gosh.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I owe a lot to Tom Holland, the director, who guided me in that direction. He encouraged me to find that side of myself. I think we were largely successful.
Is he how you came to that project? Was it through
him? Yeah, I was at the time, I'd just come off of having done, not just, but I'd been, I'd gotten the Oscar nomination for Dog Day Afternoon. I'd worked a lot in, I'd made a number of big Hollywood movies. I had done two or three Hallmark Hall of Fame adaptations of, I'd done You Can't Go Home Again, The Tale of Two Cities, playing the lead roles in those. And I was pretty full of myself, quite frankly. And I got this script called Fright Night. And I looked at the title page and I went, I can't do a movie called Fright Night. I'm a very highly regarded actor in the classical as well as in the contemporary field. And I can't sully my name by associating myself with a movie called Fright Night. But I always felt, and I still do, that when you're offered something, you owe it to the people who've made the offer to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and started to read it. And within 10 minutes, I was completely absorbed and captivated by, first of all, the plot, the beautifully plotted, cleverly written. And when I finished it, I thought, well, what harm could it do? I'll go meet the director, right? So I told him, look, I'm kind of interested. I'm not saying I'm doing it. Don't get me wrong, because I'm a very, very high class actor, but I'll come out and I'll meet with you guys. So I went to, they flew me out, bless them, and to meet with Tom Holland and Herb Jaffe, the producer. And we sat down and started talking. And then Tom literally described the way he was going to shoot the movie from the first shot to the end of the movie.
Wow.
He described the whole thing to me of how he was going to approach it, how he was going to do it. And when he finished, I thought, well, this guy really knows what he's doing. Number one, it's a great script. Number two, it's a great character. Number three, I'm stupid not to do this. And so I did. And first of all, it was a wonderful personal experience because the cast was delightful, including Roddy McDowall,
Oh, he's
whom
amazing. He's amazing.
I got to spend lots of time with and became a close friend with. And he had previously been a friend of Joanna's because they'd done a tour together. So we became as a couple friends, and we were invited often to his very famous Hollywood sit-down dinners with, you can't believe the people he would have to
Oh my
dinner.
gosh.
But also the rest of the cast, most of whom were young, very young. We just got along great, and we still are very close friends, all of us. We've all gotten older, obviously. In fact, I'm seeing them all this weekend. We're all doing a convention together, an autograph
That
convention together.
is extraordinary. Did
Yeah.
you ever think that this film would take off like it did in cult status?
No. But one never does have that sense.
No.
Things get discovered, and they have a, they get a life of their own. It's like The Princess Bride. Same
That's
thing.
right.
It started off with a whimper, and it's become, part of the culture. And the same thing with the Nightmare Before Christmas, which is
That's
now
right.
taken over Halloween. Those characters are now, that's Halloween.
That's indelible in
Yeah.
our culture. You see, I said in the beginning, you're a good investment. Anything you're going to do is cult status. And
Well, yes, you tend to forget if you look at my filmography, the vast number of movies that I did that were not cult favorites. So don't to totally exaggerate my effect on,
it
movie
does
going
help
public.
that you are remembered in this way, Chris Sarandon. I mean, my gosh, oh, what a life's work. I've just for fun.
Sure.
Because I've kept you long here and I know you've got important things to do, but
Oh,
just for fun.
nothing more important than you.
Okay, thank you. So, because we're talking about food and you getting to the table and embracing people as you do, let's say I can wave my magic wand and I can allow you to have dinner with anyone who has passed this earth. This does not have to be anyone famous, but it can be anyone. Can you think of who you would want to dine with and why?
That's a question I would have loved to have had a couple of days ago.
Okay. I'll
But
remember that for next time.
now it's got to be off the cuff, right? Okay.
You got it.
Well, I think it would be certainly some film luminaries like, Frank Capra, Michael Powell.
Oh, yes, please.
Golly, Socrates.
I can just imagine what that dinner would be
somebody
like.
like somebody like one of the great, I'm a big fan of historical fiction, and being a Greek, some of my loves
Right.
are, they have to do with, like, well, there are a series of books that a wonderful author named Mary Renault wrote, called The King Must Die and The Bull from the Sea,
Yes.
about the Theseus, the legend, which is, it's, and they're brilliantly written. I'd sit down with Mary Renault in a moment. Patrick O'Brien, the great writer who wrote the Aubrey Maturin 21 C novel series of novels, that are just an extraordinary canon of great literary works, not just historical novels. Oh,
This is
boy.
going to be a very large table, you
A
know,
large
Chris.
table. Of course, him, because I played him once, Jesus,
That's right.
because I'd
You
like
did.
to know what the real guy was like.
That's
I
interesting.
would really like to. I played him in a CBS special
That's
called
right.
Christ Died, which was essentially about the political world at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. The Buddha, why not?
I think we've covered all the bases here,
And let's
Chris.
put Muhammad in there.
Why not?
You know, if you're giving me, whomever.
Wow. Do you realize all the culinary things we have to think about now, feeding all of
Feeding all these
these
people. Oh, yeah.
people?
Right. Well, we've got a kind of Middle Eastern strain running through there with
You
Muhammad
go.
and Jesus, and Eastern with the Buddha. We have some more contemporary culinary strains that we can offer up at the table. It'll be potluck. We'll ask them to bring something.
I love that.
Yeah.
That would
Okay.
be
Yeah.
the
Come as you are.
I love that. I've never had this kind of answer. I've asked this question, and some of my guests have been reduced to tears because
Really?
they want to be with their father or who
Oh.
they've lost or you know, a family
But I was
member.
with them.
It's
I knew them. I'm really more interested in, I love my parents and I love my
Yeah.
sibling who passed away, but I spend a lot of time with them.
Especially around the table. So
I've
yeah,
never
let's get
spent
on
any
to
time with
something
any
new.
of these people around the table. Howard Hawks, I'd add Howard Hawks too, for a kind of macho, great sort of American, movie
Well,
director. Oh.
could find what it was really like to work with John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn. I mean, you know, it would be
Oh,
fantastic.
I've got another guest coming up, Peter McRae, Joel McRae's son,
Oh, wow.
Joel McRae was married to Frances. Oh, I've forgotten her name at the moment. It's called proper name syndrome. At any rate,
I'll look that up.
Peter talks a lot about growing up in Hollywood when his father was a big movie star and they owned a ranch out in what is now greater downtown LA, but at the time was farmland. And his father had a ranch, and literally the people who were knocking at the door to come and visit were Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, Gary Cooper. He tells extraordinary stories about those days.
Oh,
Yeah.
Chris,
I'm going
how
to try to do a little series
filling.
of the children of who grew up with the what we consider to be the great movies. And
I love that. That's a fantastic idea. Man, oh man, you're not just a pretty face or a great vampire. You've got so much more to offer.
well, let's put it that I'm not just an older face.
No, you're not.
No.
No, you're not. No, there's a lot of wisdom there and a lot more to share. There you
From your mouth, as they say.
go. I'm glad to be a part of it. Oh my God. Well, I think my show is about the artist's journey, and so is yours. And in the most extraordinary way, you're bringing people together to share that. And just everything we've touched on has been extraordinary today. I mean, if you're talking about that kind of depth, you know, in these interviews with people, using food as that sensory
And it really is.
unleashing element.
And the greatest moments for me are always when somebody says, "I hadn't thought about this in years.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I just
Yeah.
remembered that this was one of the things that I remember.
Isn't that
And I
something?
haven't thought about it in a long time." Just to be able to be the conduit for that is makes it all worth it.
It's like when they open up a hope chest they haven't looked in for so many
Yeah,
years,
yeah.
and it just floods over them. How,
Yeah.
Chris, oh my God, now you're going to
Yes.
make me cry. What you're doing is so special,
Oh, well,
and good
thank
luck
you.
to you for this series and many, many more. And I'm still waiting to hear the name Chris Walken. So I don't know. Maybe you could do an onstage thing.
Oh,
You could
well,
hoof a little bit.
you know, I did a play with Chris.
Yes, sir.
We
Yes, I did.
literally closed the Connecticut Shakespeare Festival.
I love that.
Yeah.
But remember, he was also from a family of bakers, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he was also in food. So, there
I
is
haven't
a.
thought about that in a long time. I haven't thought of Chris in a long time. Thank you for mentioning him. I'm
You're
going to
welcome.
try to find him.
Oh my God. Well, to everybody listening, I've got to encourage everyone to go back in your memory about food, about sharing, about all the
Yes,
things
do.
that Chris Sarandon is laying the table for, literally, not to make
Oh,
such
thank
an
you.
obvious pun. But Chris, it's always a delight. And I'm sure I'm going to close the show and think, oh no, why didn't I ask him? And
Okay.
that'll come next time,
All
okay?
right. All right.
Well, to everybody out there, please visit Fright Night in Halloween because you will be gobsmacked, as the English say, about this very seductive vampire. And Chris Sarandon, all his heart and soul, all of Joanna Gleason's heart and soul, everything he's bringing to us around the table. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your having me, and just encourage people to come and listen to some of the episodes of Cooking by Heart. Go to chrissaranda.com.
That's
You'll
it.
find them very easy either to watch or to listen to.
And are you still selling aprons?
I haven't been selling aprons. I've been it's like offering them as certain, little gifts and things to people.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. I'll look out for that. Can't
Yeah.
wait.
Okay.
Can't wait for the next on stage. And to everyone out there, please visit centerstagewithpamelacoon.com for more shows like this. Always on the arts and the riches of life, as we've heard about, wow, today. Chris Sarandon, thank you so much for being with me again. It has been such a pleasure.
And my pleasure too. Thank you, Pamela.
So glad to hear it.
Bye-bye.
And to all my guests, stay safe out there. This is Pamela Kuhn, and the curtain is now down on Center Stage.